I need to get caught up here. I've been gone a couple of weeks. Not sure what's going on, but it's good to be back. Good to see your smiling faces. Your smiling faces. Ah, oh, thank you. I would like to, I have the privilege of speaking to you this morning. I don't get to speak very often, so I got to take advantage of this. So it'll be a while. No, I'm just kidding. Because I don't speak very often, I get to talk from what's going on in my life. I don't have to go with old sermon notes or anything like that. I can tell you what's happening in the life of John Rutherford. And hopefully there's enough of what's going on in my life so that you can be encouraged, because that's my intention. My intention is to exhort you, but my intention is also to encourage you. What is going on in my life, I guess, is partly a result of reading 1st and 2nd Timothy a lot lately. And what I noticed in reading 1st and 2nd Timothy a lot lately is that Paul experienced a lot of people abandoning him, deserting him, no longer being with him over and over. And there's a bunch of names listed, like Demas, who loved this present world, has deserted him. He names these people who deserted him so that if he were there in church, he would look and see, well, that's where Demas used to sit. He's not with me anymore. And there's Hymenaeus, that's where he used to sit, and he's not with me anymore. So I noticed that a lot, that people who used to be with Paul were not with him anymore. They had deserted or abandoned him in some translations. It seems like he specifies that they're no longer walking with Jesus. That's not why they're not with Paul anymore. Seems like. So that's one factor. I was noticing that as I read 1st and 2nd Timothy over and over. And then recently we went to Rockford, Illinois. Betty and I and our daughter Janelle went with us. And we went there because of our granddaughter's graduation from high school. So it was a great day of celebration to be with her. But in my life, I've recently found out quite a few people that I used to go to church with and were sitting in the pew with me are no longer walking with Jesus. And when I went to Rockford, Illinois, for my granddaughter's graduation, well, I always get up early in the morning and nobody else was up, so I snuck out of the house and drove to McDonald's. So I was there at McDonald's like at 6 in the morning and I was drinking a cup of coffee and I took my Bible along. I was reading the Bible. Maybe 1st and 2nd Timothy, I'm not sure. But anyway, this guy comes up toward me, starts walking. I noticed him when he came in, kind of a scruffy old guy. And he starts walking up toward me. And I look up, and he says, "Are you John Rutherford?" I said, "Yeah." "Who are you?" "No." And it turns out that many years ago, when I became a Christian, this guy and I, we started working together. Well, he worked for that same guy later on after I'd worked for him and with him. And so he sat down, and for an hour, he went through all of these people that we both knew, all these names that we could connect with, and most of them are not walking with Jesus anymore. A lot of them are not walking with Jesus anymore. So it was a very discouraging time to talk to him. A couple days later, we got together with friends who are walking with Jesus, so it wasn't all discouraging. But again, that theme of people who are confessing Jesus and walking with Jesus and holding on to Jesus and trusting Jesus one day, or at least pretending to, and then disappearing from the faith or abandoning the faith or giving up on Jesus or not trusting his faithfulness, however you want to put it. Somehow, they're not with us. First John, John talks about people that were with us and now they went out from us and they were no longer with them. So I want to read 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 6 through 8, because it isn't just about me and what's going on in my life. This is my hope for you. This is, as I look out here at your smiling faces, whether you're not smiling or not, I'm trying to encourage you to hold on. I'm trying to encourage you to endure. I'm trying to encourage you to persevere in the faith because it's eternally important for you to trust in Jesus with your whole heart. And I plead with you today, trust in Jesus. Don't give up. Don't give up on Jesus. He will never, ever give up on you. Never, ever give up on you. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 6, 7, and 8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. I'm not quite being poured out as a drink offering yet, I don't think. Although some days I feel like it. Paul was near the end of his ministry. He was near the end of his life. He was in prison in Rome when he wrote this letter. And it was probably the last letter he ever wrote. Almost certainly it was the last letter he ever wrote. And he's now looking at Timothy to carry on the work. He's looking on others to carry on the work. But over and over in this epistle, he talks about those who have deserted him, have left him, like I was saying. And I want you to take to heart today, are you one of the ones that will persevere and endure? Or are you the one that are going to fall away? And it's important for you to decide today whether you're in the faith, because that's the goal of what Paul was saying here. Fighting the good fight, finishing the course, keeping the faith. He doesn't say winning a great prize. Well, there's a reward, a crown waiting for him, yes. But he's saying the critical thing for him in his life and his ministry was keeping the faith, holding on to the faith. And of course, what is the faith? Faith is trusting in Jesus. Faith is saying that Jesus is all you need. Saying that Jesus provided cleansing and forgiveness of your sin. Saying that Jesus meets every possible need that you could have in life. Faith is that kind of trust in him where nothing else matters. Yes. See, I'm older and it's easier for me to say that. Some of you maybe have aspirations of jobs and careers and money and maybe boats and cars and stuff. I'm to the place in life where nothing else matters. Well, I wish I were, but I'm closer than I used to be. That I can say of all of those things that the world offers, or aspirations that men and women have in this world, accomplishments, fame, I have no interest. So today I want to talk to you about that endurance that will get you to the end. See, the analogy here is fighting the good fight, and it means that you get knocked down. I mean, the kind of boxing they had, the Roman fighting, I guess, took place where it was brutal, and you would get knocked down. But it meant that you had to get back up again in order to fight the good fight. If you're going to fight a good fight, you got back up again. So you're going to get knocked. I've been knocked down many times in my life. I don't know how it is, but God has let me get back up again. I don't understand it. I didn't deserve it. But I can stand here today saying, I'm in the faith. I believe in Jesus. Somehow the fight turned out for my benefit. Somehow I was able to get through it and call it a good fight. I fought the good fight because I've kept the faith. And then the analogy of finishing the course, finishing the race. You know, it takes a lot of endurance. It takes a lot. Have you ever run a marathon? Some of you probably have. I've never run a marathon. But I can remember in high school when we had, in 100-degree heat, two football practices every day, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. And the only way you could get through that is endurance. And a lot of you have been through basic training in the service, and you know, you don't have a choice. You just have to keep going. You have to endure. You have to persevere. You don't feel like it. You don't think you can, but you wind up doing it. And a lot of you have similar situations that you've been through where you know what it means to endure. You know what it means to persevere in life. And not give up. Not give up. To keep going regardless. Because you have somewhere, you have somewhere beyond a hope. You see something at the end. You see that it's all worthwhile. You see that there's a reward. You see that this was what you were meant to do. So, we're going to start in Hebrews, just tracking this idea of perseverance and endurance. I'm in chapter 3, chapter 3 of Hebrews. Okay. Verse 16. Well, that's verse 15. No, verse 14. Sorry. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as when they provoked me. For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who come out of Egypt led by Moses? And with him, and with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would never enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. So we're talking hundreds of thousands of men and their families. And here Moses goes up to the mount to die before the children of Israel enter the land. And he looks around, and none of them are there anymore. They're all gone. They all died in the wilderness, except Caleb and Joshua that we know of. He looked around and none of them persevered. None of them endured. They died in the wilderness for various reasons, but he sums it up here, Paul sums it up here, because of their unbelief. They would not believe. They did not trust that God knew what he was doing by guiding them through the wilderness. He did not know what he was doing by having armies come out to fight against them, the Amalekites. He did not know what he did not believe. They did not believe what he was doing. When the spies brought back the goodness from the land, and they said, well, they also told the stories of the Anakites were huge men, and we certainly couldn't fight against them. They lost faith. See, they looked at that, and they no longer looked at the one who had promised them that he's going to find a way for them, and that he's going to settle them in that land, the promise, the covenant that he had given to them. So none of them were able to survive. None of them were able to go on, and Moses looked around, where are they? And so a new generation went into the land because they failed to persevere. They failed to endure. They failed to trust. They failed to keep faith with their God. Probably my favorite chapter on endurance is Hebrews chapter 5, where Paul says in verse 1 first, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in the hope of the glory of God." So he explains what it means to be a Christian in the first 4 chapters and gives the example of Abraham. He believed God, and God accounted it to him for righteousness. And then he says, because of this, because Jesus was able to find a way to redeem us from our sin, justify us, we glory in God, we exalt in hope in the glory of God. And then he says, not only this, but we also rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. See, this is what your life is about, and this is why I want to encourage you. Please don't give up, because you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have suffering. You're going to have difficulty. You're going to have rejection. You're going to have trouble in this life. You're going to be betrayed. People are going to betray you if your life is anything like mine. But I'm saying here that if you persevere in your trouble, in your affliction, in your tribulation, it brings about perseverance. It molds it into your heart and into your life. If you give up, you have nothing molded into your life. Your character will be destroyed, but if you hold on, it will create perseverance. You'll become a person. Your identity will be, I'm a person who endures. I know myself. I can go on. I won't give up. Is that you? Oh, Jesus, may it be. I'm going to pray for you that you will be that person. That in a year, in 5 years, in 10 years, you're still walking with Jesus. You don't have to be here in this church, obviously. But you'll be walking with Jesus hand in hand. Trust. You're believing in him. That's what I'm asking. And that this perseverance, in verse 4, it produces proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. See, that's God's plan for you today, right now, whatever situation you're in. It's to persevere and endure in that situation. Let God prove himself to you that he will bring out of this perseverance, he will bring proven character in this translation. Other translations, experience with God. You see, Satan is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We're not unaware of the wiles of the devil, but we've been given an armor, and we fight against principalities and powers, not against flesh and blood. So we know what he's after. He's after us to give up. He's working on us to quit, be quitters. No longer trust Jesus, no longer go on believing in him. You know, I used to think, and I guess this is in the evangelical church, is that the young people go off to college and they're exposed to all of this, and a lot of them fall away, and that's true, that's what happens. But it's not just young people going off to school, it's people right here in evangelical churches who have made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, have said, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, gotten up and given testimonies. People who have supposedly walked with Jesus, taught Sunday school, and then have abandoned the faith. That's the people that Paul was talking about, who had deserted and abandoned him, people that used to walk with him. And I'm saying, don't give up, persevere. I don't know what's going on in your life. I'll be glad to pray with you if you want to tell me what's going on in your life. We can pray specifically what's going on in your life, but it's worth it. I'm saying to you, it's worth it. It's the only way to live. It's the only real life. Everything else will let you down and fail you, but Jesus never will. Jesus never will. And once we go through this Romans 5 experience where we do persevere through tribulation and we have an experience with God, or God makes proven character in us, and proven character works hope, and hope does not disappoint because the Holy Spirit is shed abroad in our heart. But once we have that, next time we go through perseverance, next time we go through tribulation or difficulty, we have a testimony of his faithfulness that he already led us through. And it may be worse this time, I don't know. But I'm telling you, please don't give up. One more in James chapter 5, verse 11, James says, we count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job, and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. Do you all know about Job? You know about Job. What was not taken away from Job? His health was taken away. His wife says, curse God and die. His children are killed by enemies. His crops and his animals, everything he owned is taken away from him. Everything. What kind of trial was that? And then these counselors, these comforters come, and they accuse him of being self-righteous and not willing to confess and humble himself before God, that there's some sin, Job, that you need to get out in the open, and then things will be restored to you. That's the story of Job. The suffering that he endured and persevered under, and God restored him. One of the people from Rockford that was an elderly man that helped me somewhat, some ways he didn't. But one of his sayings was, and he was referring to Job, his latter end was better than his beginning. And that's what he wanted, this old man. He wanted his latter end to be better than his beginning. He wanted to be stronger at the end than he was at the beginning. Nothing to do with Revelations 2, that lost your first love. But he wanted to go on. He wanted to persevere. He wanted to be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. And Job is an example for us of persevering. Do any of your trials or tribulations match Job? Well, maybe they do. I don't know. But I'm saying Job is an example of God's mercy and his faithfulness, that at the end, the life of Job was better than the beginning. So he says in the beginning of his book, James, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. See, it's the process. You know this. You've heard this sermon before. You know, at least intellectually, you've heard messages, you've read in the Bible that God uses perseverance. He uses difficulty. He's perfect at it. He knows exactly what he's doing. He can create a trial, a tribulation, a trouble in your life that's exactly tailored to get at what you need to abandon in your soul, ultimately coming down to pride, who I am, what I deserve in life. He knows how. Is that trust? Do we trust that way? That he knows exactly what he's doing in your marriage? Does he know exactly what he's doing? Yes. He knows exactly what he's doing. It's perfect. It's one of those things prepared for you before the foundation of the world. He knew exactly what was necessary to work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure, forming, fashioning you in the image of his son, Jesus. Let him have his perfect work. Don't give up. Don't give up. For in verse 11 of James 1, no, it's not a verse 11. Well, anyway, 12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. There's a crown, just like the crown we saw in 2 Timothy chapter 4. There is a crown. God is so happy with people who persevere and endure. He is. He's amazed that we, created in his image, but fallen into sin. He knows our thoughts and what we thought, what we were capable of doing, and yet he can take us as a potter takes the clay and fashion us and mold us and make us into something beautiful, something good. I don't know why I'm here today. I'm amazed. I wish I could say exactly why I still believe. The only thing I can say is what Pastor Kip was talking about a few weeks ago in John chapter 6, when Jesus had told the masses, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. And many people of the disciples were saying, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? And so Jesus said to the 12, he says, will you, after these disciples went away and abandoned Jesus, he said, will you leave me also? And Peter said, where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. So Peter was living in a cloud in many ways. He was living in unbelief in many ways. He was living in ignorance in many ways. But he knew one thing. He knew the one thing that we need to know to persevere and to endure, that is that Jesus has the words of eternal life. Now, I have an advantage since I'm older because I've experienced more stuff than a lot of you. You're young. Except even 29 is pretty young. So I've been able to see, I've been able to have some wisdom, I guess, if you want to call it that, that there's nowhere else for me to go. I'm trapped, as it were, in Jesus. I don't have any desire to go anywhere else or to aspire to anything else. I just want to be his servant. I just want to follow him. You know, you might... I'm going to finish with this, because in 1 Corinthians 10:13, you're familiar with 1 Corinthians 10:13. There's no temptation taken you but what is common to man. But with the temptation itself, he will find a way of escape that you may bear under it or endure it. So we get in this pity party and say, well, no one's ever gone through what I've gone through. You don't understand what's going on in my life. But the Bible says the truth is that there's nothing that you can go through in your life that is not common. It's a common thing. And it's only pride in your soul that tells you you're unique. Nobody has ever been like you. Nobody's ever experienced what you're experiencing. It's a lie. It's a scheme of the devil to get you to think that. That you need to humble yourself. I trust you, Jesus. That I'm able, you're able to enable me to bear up during this time in my life, this experience, this tribulation that I'm in right now. So, you know what Jesus said? He said, you will be hated of all men for my sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. I'm not talking about eternal security here. I'm not talking about Calvinism or Arminianism. I'm just saying that Jesus said endurance to the end is salvation. And you can't bail on it. You can't give up. You can't lay down and quit. I'm saying, I'm exhorting, I'm encouraging you to keep going. There are two roads, Jesus said. There's a small gate and a narrow way that leads to life. This is simple, isn't it? We know about small gates, and we know about narrow ways. And we know about broad gates, or broad ways, and big gates. And we know there's few on that narrow way that leads to life, and many be on the road to destruction, the broad way that leads to destruction. So I'm saying, please, I'm encouraging you, stay with Jesus. Don't give up on him. When all seems dark and hopeless, and I know. Parents with their kids, health issues. Life can be devastating, totally devastating. And it could happen in this country where we're faced with circumstances that are far worse than they are now. So I'm just saying, please, hold on. Hang in there. Say to him, all I have wanted, thy hand hath provided. Say to him that with your whole heart. I have nowhere else to go. You have the words of eternal life. You are the one living and true God, the creator of all heaven and earth. I bow before you. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are the encourager, the comforter. We celebrate your ministry to us today. We're so glad that we have not been left alone, but that you are with us and that we can call out to you. We can depend on you to see us through. Father, I pray for each one here that you'll make them strong, Lord, in you and your strength. May your strength be made perfect in their weakness, in my weakness, Lord. May we walk with you hand in hand and know that whatever comes, Lord, you are able to carry us through. Carry Westside Chapel, Lord, through any difficulties she may encounter. Not for our glory, Lord, but for your glory. Raise up a people. Raise up families to bring glory and honor to your name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Mary Ann's going to come with some announcements, I believe.
Announcements after that sermon, because it's just so true. Sorry, I don't have a microphone. I hope you can hear me. I think I'm just going to start by saying, I'm not going to preach either, but that one of the things that helps us endure is fellowship with one another.
Amen.
Who walks up in our lives and is struggling with what John said, the hard things. I mean, just this week, I know that we've all heard about really, really hard things in the world. And it's not easy. But anyway, so one of them that Jenny has suggested, I think it's a wonderful idea, we've been talking about that, is for moms or for anyone, actually. You don't have to be a mom of small children. You can be like me, a mom of big kids. And it meet on Thursdays about every couple of times a month for just fellowship. So this Thursday is going to be the first time. It's going to be at 10 o'clock this Thursday, and just meeting out on the playground, and for the kids to be able to play and for us to just fellowship together. So I don't think if you're able and free, even if you have older kids, I think it's still a time for fellowship. So come on out this Thursday, which is June 8th at 10 a.m. right out here. And speaking of right out there, on Sunday, we're going to have a cookout. Here's another opportunity.